It's time for the Taking Notes Podcast with Julian Robichaux and Bruce Elgort.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another highly viral edition of the Taking Notes Podcast. It's episode 64 for Monday, August 6th, 2007. I am here with
Julian Jeremy Robichaux.
And I am Bruce Elgort. I thought I'd change it up there a bit, and I wasn't prepared for the viral, the fully viral thing. Julian, how are you, Mr. Robichaux?
I'm doing great. Just waiting for the kids to start school, that's all.
Really? And that's school's going to start for you guys?
Just a couple weeks. Either the third week or the last week of this month, August.
You're not sure?
Coming right up. I'm not. Well, it's different for different kids. As a matter of fact, apparently some kids are starting this week.
Wow.
And see, that's why viral and germy and stuff, that's kind of a good theme, because the first couple weeks of school, those are kind of rough.
I agree. I've been there with young kids, and I used to get sick a heck of a lot more. Now that the kids are older, they're probably full of germs and stuff like that, but they're not as viral.
Oh yeah, it's kind of like a viral show and tell. Mm-hmm. They go to school and they all lick each other and get all dirty and stuff or whatever they do at school and come back and get you all sick.
What kind of school do your kids go to?
A dirty school.
Oh, June! It's June 27th. I think was the last podcast.
Was it?
Yeah.
We skipped July.
I think we skipped July totally.
Wow. That's got to be my fault. I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault. I was on vacation. I celebrated my 1 year wedding anniversary. I've been quite busy with just other things. And how about yourself?
Man, yeah, not much.
Not much. All right. You got a new truck, though, right?
I got a truck. I have a truck. I am a man. I own a truck now.
Wow. Is it jacked up like 4 feet in the air? Is it big, and American?
It's got nice big knobby tires on it. I'll tell you that. Yeah, it's four-wheel drive, of course, and burns all sorts of gas.
Oh, great, great, great.
I don't drive anywhere, though, Bruce. I work from home.
Well, either do I, so inside joke. All right. So let's get into everything Lotus, right? So we have Lotus Connections. I think the last podcast we did with Mr. Macuadera, episode 63, Connections came out, I think, the day after we released the podcast, or the day of, right?
Yeah, something. Yeah, it was definitely that week. Mm-hmm. So we were within a couple of days. We were very timely.
We're very connected. So
connected.
And everyone ran out, and every notes domino shop out there is running Connections today. We verified it. However, they can't get authentication to work using Domino LDAP, right?
Right. Yes, it works with Tivoli LDAP and Active Directory, but no Domino LDAP.
Yeah. So, like I said, I don't think, contrary to what I said, I don't think there are a lot of customers out there, racing to install Connections, the day it came out. So I think the things that I read on the internet, because the internet knows all, is that in the October timeframe, possibly, we'll have some Domino LDAP-type connectivity. So that'll probably be the time where I fire up a couple servers and test it out. So we'll see.
Yeah. And honestly, from the customer perspective, I think a lot of people kind of wait for that. They don't like that 1.0 version. They wait for 1.01 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that might be kind of right in line. And frankly, if they talk it up a lot at Lotusphere, then they'll have had 6 months to work through the bugs. Mm-hmm. So it may not be bad.
Yeah. And as members of the Notes Domino community have been, playing around with some of these social networks like LinkedIn and Facebook. I know Connections. I spend a lot of time, preparing for episode 63. But lately, I've been, on Facebook playing around with that. And I'll tell you that the speed that, these social networks are taking off, and not only taking off, but how would you say it? Feature-rich they're becoming. You look at Connections and you're like, holy cow, Connections is so 2006, you know what I mean?
That is so last year, dude. Yeah,
that's so last year. So that's about it for connections. If anyone has any success stories with connections so far, send us an email.
Connect with us.
We love to get it. So Quicker 8 also came out, released right along with Lotus Connections, I believe. Right? Right, Julian? Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Yeah.
If not with it, then right around, they were within a couple days of each other.
Yeah. So Rob Novak of Snaps, and who's also been on the Taking Notes podcast about 4,000 times, has reported that there have been about 5,000 downloads of the Snaps Quicker templates. And he also notes that that represents 503 registrations from 46 countries. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Well, and you have to remember that Rob is out there pounding the pavement for this stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Collaboration University in Kansas City and London, and doing another round here pretty soon, and just out there, you know, talking the talk. Mm-hmm. So he is the Quicker evangelist. Mm-hmm.
And I heard that he's not allowing Victor Kranz to eat or sleep, actually, until all the templates are, you know, squared away and
totally. Good for him.
Yeah. So talking about Quicker templates, version 1.01 of some of the templates are now available. So for those of you who may have downloaded version 1, you want to be sure and check back on the Snap site there to make sure that, go pick up version 1.01 for the templates that are available as 1.01.
Yeah. Don't ask why. Just get them.
Yeah. So Rob also notes that there have been over 9,000 views of the Quicker template Flash demos. So those cutesy little, you know, most excellent Flash demos that Rob put on his blog have been viewed 9,000 times by approximately 18,000 eyes. So that's pretty impressive, Rob. So again, Rob's pound on the pavement. For more on Quicker, you can listen to episode 62 of the Taking Notes podcast, where he talks about Quicker 8. Wasn't he on another episode or two or three or four, Julian?
Yes, 58, 54. He's been on a few times.
Wow.
And, well, we love Rob. We like to, even if he's not on the show, we like to talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's here in spirit quite a bit.
Speaking of germs.
Germs. So there's this Lotus Viral Marketing blog, right? Yeah, Tom Duff and Greg Eldred started the Lotus Viral Marketing blog, and what they're doing is they're trying to show people how they can position themselves as kind of notes evangelists within their companies, and how you can actually do selling notes stuff as a notes person within your own organization.
Mm-hmm.
Which, hey, I did a whole session on that with Ed Brill and at Lotusphere last year, and I am all for it. I think that's a fantastic idea, a good thing to do, a good thing to talk about. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get them on the podcast at some point. I think they caught some viral stuff. I don't know. They haven't agreed to a time yet. So mm-hmm. So we're assuming they must just kind of.
It's either that or a pile of books fell on Tom Duff.
Very possibly.
So
he's getting behind in his reviewing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and of course there's the, you know, have you seen the viral marketing T-shirt?
The one that talks about how viral marketing doesn't work and go tell everyone about it, right?
Yeah, that one. Yeah, it's oxymoronic.
Yeah, it's a great shirt. I think I saw that on Robert Scoble's blog or something like that. But that's a T-shirt I would like to add to my collection. So if anyone wants to send us one of those viral marketing does not work T-shirts, just drop us an email. We'll tell you where we live.
Or even viral marketing, sneeze on your friends. Whatever.
Oh boy, you give these guys a couple weeks off or a month off, and they're full of tea and vinegar, eh?
Hey.
All right, so let's hop right in. Instead of shoving Chris Blatnick at the end of the podcast like we usually do, let's take a couple minutes to hear Chris of Interface Matters talk about the five facets of usability. Count them, five. So there'll be a quiz after Chris's segment. All right, take it away, Chris.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris Blatnick, and welcome to another Interface Matters segment here on the Taking Notes podcast. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about another aspect of usability. And today, I want to specifically introduce to you something known as the five facets of usability. And if you have been around the topic of usability at all, and probably either hear me speak about this before or just peruse various websites, you probably know the name Jacob Nielsen. And Jacob is probably considered the godfather of usability in terms of computer languages and application development. And love him or hate him, he has a lot of good ideas, a lot of ideas which were very innovative many years ago that have kind of led the way into the usability realm that we talk of today. And in a book a while back, Jacob introduced the concept of the five facets of usability. And basically the five facets, if I just list them out really quickly, are learnability, memorability, efficiency in use of your application, reliability in use, that is a low number of errors when you're using an application, and finally, user satisfaction. So basically what this means in plain English is that when you're building a system with good usability makes it very easy for a user to jump in and learn how to use the application and then remember how that application is used from one day to the next. It also helps users avoid mistakes and allows them to do their job better and faster. And after all is said and done, basically, the user feels good about having interacted with this system or with this application. So if you can keep these various facets in mind as you're designing your application and designing your user experience, you have a much better chance of building a highly usable application and one that is going to allow your users to be more productive. So if we take a look at each of these five facets quickly, discuss a little bit about them, what you need to keep in mind as you're building your app. Let's take first learnability and memorability. And I'm going to kind of group those together. While they're two separate concepts, they do go hand in hand. First of all, learnability is kind of the holy grail in terms of usability when you're developing your system. What you'd like ideally is to build an application that is so easy to use, easy enough that you can just, a subject matter expert at least, can sit down in front of the computer and start using that system with little or no training required. And this is really, again, sometimes a very hard target to hit, but it's something you should at least strive to do. Memorability, on the other hand, kind of extends this concept and basically says that remembering how to use the system, how to use a particular function, how to get in there and do a particular task, should also be very easy. If the system has some inherent complexity because of the process that you're trying to automate, or some kind of function just because of the domain that you're working in that is not immediately evident on first use, then the learnability may not be something that's a given. You may have to do a little bit of training or a little bit of reading to get up to speed, but where memorability comes into play and then becomes extremely important is after this initial training period, if the user has to go back to the manual, or more likely go back to you, then the system doesn't have good memorability, because memorability states that it should be just as easy to remember how to use a function as it is figuring out how to use that function in the first place, or getting the instruction on that function to get up and running. So that's learnability and memorability, and those are two very important facets of usability. The next facet, the third facet in this group, is what's called efficiency in use. And basically, when we're talking about efficiency here, we're talking about making the user more productive than if they were not using your software. Now, this is pretty commonsensical, right? If the user is being less productive using your application, then they shouldn't be using it at all. However, we all know common sense doesn't always necessarily translate to the real world. And I've seen lots of applications, Notes apps, as well as many applications, Windows-based applications that I've downloaded over the years, that have such poor usability that you're better off just trashing the program because you spend so much time fighting with it and not doing your actual task that you're trying to get done. And what's neat about efficiency and use, one of the things I like focusing on this particular facet is that, unlike many of the other facets, this one is actually measurable. You should be able to look at output before versus output after and be able to tell, hey, what's the net gain in efficiency? If there is an immeasurable improvement in your job by using this application, then as a developer, your job's not done. You need to step back, go back to the drawing board, do some redesign, so that in the end, the output is, hey, I'm being more efficient using this program than I was without it. The next step then in the facets of usability is looking at reliability in the use of the software. So this facet refers to the software's ability to help the user prevent mistakes in their work. So we're not talking about the reliability per se of the back-end code and if it's spitting out the right information, but rather whether or not the interface helps guide the user to do the right thing so they avoid making mistakes. So what is the kind of thing you want to look for here? Problems like lots of help desk tickets, users not getting the output they expect, not because the program's broken, but because they're actually using the program in the wrong way. These are things that would lead you to say, well, the reliability and use is not as good as that could be, and I need to take a step back again and maybe do a little bit of redesign. And all of these facets that we've talked about so far, learnability, memorability, efficiency and use, reliability and use, they all lead up to the final facet, really, arguably the most important facet of usability, and that's user satisfaction. How does the software make the user feel when all is said and done? And yes, here we are again with the touchy-feely concept, and why do we really, you know, concern ourselves with this? But it's truly something that we need to measure. We need to determine whether or not the user's satisfied or frustrated after using the application. And this does indeed have applicability in business, because if we design a program that has high user satisfaction, generally we can correlate that with an application that is used more frequently and user efficiency is higher in those types of applications. And the converse is true as well. If we have an application with poor usability, generally, this results in more errors in the process and less efficient users. The output is going to be less. So user satisfaction is very much a key. And I think, for the most part, I would venture to guess that there's at least one application that you've used personally that has had poor usability, and you tend to want to avoid going into that application. Maybe it's an internal business process. Maybe it's something that you use at home that you have to use, that you don't like to use, and we tend to put up barriers to going into those applications in the first place. If you are encountering users that are putting up this kind of resistance, that's one factor for you to say, well, probably the usability of this application is not very good. I need to go back and readdress that. So again, when you're looking at trying to improve your applications, one aspect you can continually look at and try to improve is usability. So keep in mind these five facets. Again, learnability, how easy it is to figure out how to use the application. Memorability, once I figure it out, can I remember it from day to day? Or if I go away for a couple months, can I come back and just jump right in? Efficiency and use, can the user be more productive with your application than without it? How reliable it is, how does it prevent me from creating errors? And in the end, how satisfied am I with the application? Do I love it or do I hate it? So keep these things in mind and refactor your code as you have the opportunity to do so to address some of these issues. And I think what you'll end up with is a much better application. And in the end, again, this will lead us to happy users, which is what we're all hopefully striving for. Thanks, everybody. If you have any questions, remember, you can always get me at chris@interfacematters.com.
You know, I totally dig Chris and what he's done. He, first of all, he maintains the Interface Matters blog. I've seen him speak at Lotusphere with Nathan. I got to hang out with him in Ireland at the Irish Lotus User Group, where he gave some great, 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 great sessions. And that's it. I really enjoy having Chris on the podcast here. Plus, wait, he's probably one of the only ones who's given us material, you know, has been an integral part of the podcast now for like 4 or 5 episodes. So reliability, accountability. That's Chris.
Well, Blackman. I understand he owns 2 horses, too.
Yeah, I saw that on his blog.
Yeah, is it? Hey, any guy that's got a couple of horses, he's here for us.
Uh-huh. And he just blogged about how his son completed rock school. And why didn't they have rock school when I was a kid? That would have been cool.
Rock school?
Rock school. So,
man, that could have been us, man.
I know.
Could have been us. Now, Julian, now we're just stuck doing podcasts.
You played in a band. I played in a band, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, someday on my blog, I'll stick an MP3 out of one of our demo songs. We went into the studio and recorded a few songs and did a demo tape and everything, man.
Uh-huh. Spider pig.
No.
All right. Okay. So, Sunday, which was yesterday, I took a couple minutes to talk with Warren Elsmore of BE Systems, where Warren filled me in on the UK Lotus User Group, which is going to be happening on September 26th. So let's have a listen to Warren. Here we are with Warren Elsmore from BE Systems in the UK. Warren, how are you?
I'm very good, Bruce. You?
I'm good. Thanks a lot. It's great to have you finally on the podcast, and I know why you're here. You're here to tell us a little bit about what's going to be going on in the UK on September 26th. Is that correct?
It is, yep. September the 26th, just outside London, we're having what's going to be the first UK Lotus User Group event. So it's all hands to the pump at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys trying to keep up with the Irish Lotus User Group, or...?
Well, no, we're doing our own thing. We're not going to try and keep up because that event is just so big and so successful now. So we're taking a slightly different track. We've got lots of users, lots of IT managers and people coming in to tell us what they've done with notes and what experiences they've got, and let everybody talk to everybody else and sort of gain some knowledge, really. Mm-hmm.
So what can people expect for the agenda?
Well, we've got a guy coming from HSBC, who are the proud owners of the world's largest notes domain. They've got 350,000 people in a single notes domain. So they're coming to tell us how on earth they manage that. And we've got a brewery coming in, and another financial organization, and the Salvation Army as well, the CIO of them coming in.
Excellent. Any special speakers outside, you know, from the community? You know, like Bill Buckin, or is Vince Sherman going to speak too?
Vince is coming over. Yeah, he's coming over to talk about OpenNTF and all the apps that they have. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't really have a UK event without Bill speaking in some sort of shape or form. Mm-hmm. So
is that the brewery? You mentioned the brewery coming. That's not Bill.
Believe it or not, that's not Bill. No, okay. No. We're trying to keep him away from the brewery, I think. So I've teamed up Bill with Paul again, but they're doing a different session. They're going to be looking at all the new features in Notes from the administration and development side, so they can sort of hit each other over the head for their session.
All right, so where do people go to sign up?
They go to UKLUG, so UKLUG.info. Let's go there. Some details of the agenda on there. There's some more stuff to come out in the next week. But all the registration details are on there. You sign up. We have still got places, and we would love to see you there. So you don't have to be from the UK either.
That's right. All right. So please keep us posted on any events and news that come out of the UK. The UK Lotus User Group. And we look forward to talking to you again soon, Warren.
Absolutely will. Thanks very much, Bruce.
Thanks. Oh boy! I hope Wild Bill doesn't mind me calling him a brewery. On the recording, I don't know if you heard, but Warren said that a brewery was going to be attending the UK Lotus User Group, and I said, "Was that going to be Bill Buckin?" So,
yeah, boy. I know. Well, now is that you said that was actually Ucklug?
Ucklug.
Ucklug. Is it? Is that Gaelic?
Yeah, it's Ucklug.
Okay.
Ucklug. All right, so what's next, Julian?
Collaboration University.
And no, this is not an advertisement.
It's not. We're doing this out of the goodness of our hearts. Again, because we love Rob. And actually, this is – now the other collaboration universities, though, have all been same time and quick place and you know, the whole – that collaboration stuff. This is actually going to be Notes Domino 8. So they're actually coinciding this with – I guess it's going to happen right after the Notes 8 launch, whenever that's going to be, sometime this month. And they're going to have some Notes 8 Collaboration University things, sessions, conferences in September. So Kansas City, September 10th through 12th, they're going to have a Collaboration University there. They're going to have another one in London on September 19th through 21st. And that's going to be really the same thing, just different place. Mm-hmm. And they've got, you know, Bob Balaban and Mary Beth Raven. They've got, you know, some admin people. They've got some other developers. They've got, I think Ed Brill is doing one of the keynotes. I think Kevin Kavanaugh might be doing another one. So, again, this is much more Notes Domino based. So this is going to be kind of, okay, you just got Notes Domino 8. It's gold. It's in your hands, and here's what you can do with it. So they have some sessions that are very focused on what you can do with the new product. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. Very timely.
Very, very, very timely. Again, that's September 10th through 12th in Kansas City and in London, September 19th through 21st. You know, I just realized, Julian, that like last summer, Ytria is actually offering a summer, I think they call it their summer promotion.
Where
you can download all of their tools and run them, July 16th through August 25th. So you can play away, and if you like them, you can buy them. If not, they just turn themselves off and destroy all your notes data.
Speaking of viral marketing.
Yes, speaking of viral marketing, Ytria's tools don't work. No, they work great.
Fantastic.
When I was at the Irish Lotus User Group, got to spend some time with Eric Hoovenagale, who was on the Taking Notes podcast, and those guys are so nice, man, I'll tell you. So,
yeah.
And it also, August 6, 2007, it's Ed Brill's birthday today.
It's his 50th birthday today.
Happy 50th anniversary. Birthday, Ed. Again,
He's a young 50.
Again, this is the viral marketing episode of the Taking Notes podcast. So 50, that's the big 5-0. I can't believe Ed is that old.
Wow, he doesn't look it. Tell you.
All right. Speaking of Notes Domino, right? Julian mentioned that Notes and Domino 8 is due out any day or week now. I think I read a post somewhere on Ed Brill's blog comments from somebody. I don't know who this guy was, but he kind of said it's being prepared, the ISO images and all this other great stuff. It's being rolled up. And my guess, Julian, you care to take a guess?
I guess I'm going to let me pull up a calendar. Because I think they would release it on a Friday. And so, let's see, what is a good Friday to guess? I'm going to guess the 24th.
That's what I said on Ed's blog. I said Friday the 24th. Yeah. Wow.
What the heck?
Great minds think alike. So there you go. Yeah. August 24th, Notes and Domino 8 will be available. Spread the word.
Yeah. Oh, and also, I guess, speaking of Ed, since we can't stop talking about him, let's do a disclaimer. Disclaimer, Ed Brill may not actually be 50. He might be younger than that.
That's right. Yeah, we better do that before we get Ed dotted or something like that.
Well, you know, you got to watch out. Some people are very lawsuit happy these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ed hasn't sued us in a couple episodes now.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was nice about it, too.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the, you know, the IBM lawyers. It was just some, you know, 1-800, you know, lawyer, something like that.
Disclaimer, Ed Brill may not have actually sued us in the past.
Ed Brill sued us. Go tell everyone about it. Let's see. We're going to skip number 9 for now. Let's talk about number 10. Yeah, we do have an agenda in front of us, folks. This is not just all off the top of our head. Same time, critical.
It's off the bottom of our head.
That's right. All right. Same time, Critical Fix 1 is out, according to a couple of the blogs. Adam Gartenberg, who we've spoken to before on, I think, episode 62 or 62 of the podcast. Lots of Macintosh fixes for the Same Time Connect client. Declan Lynch has tested it out and says it's much improved. We'll put a link in the show notes so you can go read Declan's little quickie review about it. And we'll also put a link to all the fixes that are in 7.5.1 Critical Fix 1. And just one thing I noticed was that they don't include the number of fixes anymore in the views. You know how it used to say 4,228 fixes? No, that number is not real. But it's no longer there, so you have to click through each one to guess how many how many fixes occurred, say, in the same time client, you know, whatever. So it's all good. Another thing I stumbled on, I've been stumbling a lot, is Jack Dowsman had a great link to a Lotus webpage called the Lotus Product Lifecycle page, which actually listed every version of every Lotus product, when it came out onto the market and when it when support ended for it. And what were a couple things on there, Julian, that you noted?
Well, and I'm not sure if it's everyone, but it's definitely the ones in the last 8 years or so. So, like, they don't have Lotus Notes
Approach
2 or something.
Yeah.
But they've got, you know, like I'm looking at it right now, it's got Lotus Domino 5. You know, it was released on March 20th, 1999, end of life, or let's see, they actually say end of support, which I guess is subtly different, on, let's see, September 30th, 2005, Notes Domino 6, end of support, April 30th, 2007, so that was pretty recent. But, you know, 6, 5, and 7 are still supported, and it has some good links to those pages. You have, like, you know, scrolling down the page here, oh, Lotus Workflow. So let's see what we got here. Lotus Workflow 3.0, you know, end of life, April 30th, 2005. Mm. Although there's a Workflow 7.0, you know, so you got that. You got Workplace on here. You know, a lot of the Workplace stuff is still supported, although Workplace 1.0 was end of life this year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of things. And the good thing about that is if you're trying to convince, like, your manager to upgrade, like, say Bruce is your manager, and he's like, ah, I don't know, that Domino 5, it still works just fine, right? Eh, not broken. But you say, well, yeah, but it end of life or end of supported 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, not good.
Mm-hmm. That kind of reminded me of the stuff we did in episode 63. Hey, Mac Wadera. Remember the
Mac.
Yeah, remember the president?
Oh, yeah. You in the elevator.
That's right. I met Mr. Mac Wadera in the elevator. So, let's see. Lotusphere 2008 is approaching us. It's going to be January 20th through 24th, 2008, in sunny Orlando, Florida.
And get your tickets now.
Get your tickets now. Let's see. I think Rocky Oliver blogged some stuff about it, how they're going to be taking session abstracts, I guess, quite a bit earlier this year, right?
Yeah. Maybe. Well, now, go ahead. Yeah, typically that happens starting late August, right?
I don't know.
Doesn't it? It seems like it was around this time. I mean, it's coming up, so real soon you're going to be able to submit an abstract, and then of course tickets are going to go on sale. You're going to have the early bird discounts, which I think last year the early discount was something like $400 or $500. It was a lot.
Uh-huh. It was pretty substantial. All right, Julian, anything else for this abbreviated edition of the Taking Notes podcast?
No, I don't think so. I think that's just kind of our quick news wrap-up summary kind of thing. And, you know, I think we kept that to a reasonable time, so people can listen to that on their 5K runs.
Mm-hmm. Their 5K runs or their... what else do people do while listening to the Taking Notes podcast? Let's see.
Oh, I don't want to know.
Let's see. Francie Whitlock is in Anguilla. Is that where she is? She probably
Anguilla.
Listens
no,
to.
Well, now that's where she lives, but right now she's in Dallas.
Oh,
because she and Lance house swapped.
So she's still there.
I think so.
Wow,
I think Lance just got to Anguilla.
Oh, that's a long house swap.
Did it? Well, you know.
I don't know, Julian. You know,
you can work from anywhere.
You and I have known each other. Well, we met in October 2003, but, you know, I just don't think that I'd want a house swap with you.
No, that wouldn't go so
too
well.
Too many germs. No, just one thing, Julian. You know, I did indicate earlier that I've been kind of busy, and for those of you who who know me and may read my blog, I've been working on a new project. It's called the Idea Exchange, and essentially, Julian, can I talk about this?
I think you should.
Okay.
I think you should spend as much time as you want to, because I think it's really cool.
Well, thank you. Essentially, what the Idea Exchange is going to be is a place, one place, actually, where if you want to see a feature added to a product, whether it be Domino Designer, Administrator, Quicker, Same Time, Connections, WebSphere Portal, whatever it may be, you can go to this site. You can enter your idea. Other people can comment on your idea in the normal blog way. But the other thing that you can do is you can help promote that idea by clicking on a little button or link that's actually going to add, you know, promotion points to that particular idea. You can't like pimp your own idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what's going to happen is there'll be a whole bunch of different views. This is a pretty simplistic, you know, application, but in one place, you'll be able to see all the, you know, highly, what do you want to call it? All the ideas that a lot of people would like to see implemented, say, in Domino Designer. You can also see recent ideas, you know, just new ideas that have come up, ones that have comments, the most popular ideas. And again, it's something that we don't have in the community. And I know they do have something in the Business Partner Forum that actually allows business partners to go in and vote on certain things. But this is a community site. And the thing that I see happening is, you know, whether or not Lotus embraces the site and takes some of the community input to heart or not, is that other ISVs, like Lotus ISVs, say it's Genii Software or Ytria, they can also request that their products be added to this system, and you'll be able to see all these great ideas, you know, that people want to see in the various, you know, Lotus products, whether they be Lotus products or ISV products. And go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say, even if Lotus IBM sees some of these things and says, well, that's not really going to work with our product plans, a lot of them are probably things that, like you said, an ISV could just go and say, hey, you know, I can make some money doing this.
That's right.
And it can become a third-party solution, which is all good.
Mm-hmm.
Or there might even be some things where someone says, hey, I've got that code.
That's totally true. And what we're going to also allow, and this is some feedback I got from Nathan on this, was, you know, allow some type of trackback where you can put a link back to a solution that someone has for a particular problem, a particular, you know, request for, you know, a feature. Just so you know, the people who are helping me work on this are, first of all, they're fabulous people. There's Sean Burgess, who maintains the Fig Said What blog. There's Chris Blatnick, who does the Interface Matters piece on this podcast. And then there's Matt White from the 11, what is it, TMR? I always mess up his call letters. But Matt,
I think so.
Yeah, TMR, is it? Matt, I screwed it up, I'll put it correct in the show notes. But, you know, Matt's been doing some of the Ajax-y type stuff and just kick-ass stuff. So if you're looking for, I know that Matt's an independent who enjoys doing this kind of work, and he does great stuff. So I'm pimping you, Matt. Good stuff, and hopefully we'll have a beta of the Idea Exchange out to everyone, I would say for sure within a month. So not much programming went into this thing, but I think it's going to be a little one of the Lotus community jewels. So,
whew. I think it's going to be awesome.
Oh, well, thank you, Julian. And Julian's been an inspiration too, and Nathan as well, so. Oh, I'm done talking, Julian, and it's 7:15 at night here on Monday.
10:15 for me.
And that's it. It's always good to hear your voice again, recording a podcast. Virtual hug, and just remember that Spider Pig, the Simpsons movie. I saw it the other night. It was great. So, anything else?
Not a thing, Bruce.
All right. That's it, everyone. Thanks for listening to episode 64 of the podcast. One more, and we'll be at 65, Julian.
Oh, 65. We're getting so old.
Yeah, 15 years older than Ed, so.
Well, at least.
All right.
Disclaimer.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Goodbye. We love you all.